The U.S. and Israeli war against Iran began less than a month ago, and so far the American commander-in-chief has alternatively declared victory, demanded unconditional surrender from Tehran, and then on Monday said constructive talks with Iran were underway. Iranian officials deny that's the case. Without a doubt, the U.S. and Israel have the upper hand militarily. But the regime in Iran remains defiant, and it still has plenty of leverage over Washington and the global economy as it continues to block oil and gas shipments out of the Persian Gulf. How does this war end? That's a question lots of people are asking now, and we get to that today from different perspectives. Anna Mulrein-Groba, who covers global security, writes about the calculus faced by the Trump administration. Middle East correspondent Scott Peterson looks at Iran's strategy. It's Wednesday, March 25th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Matthew Bell. First, today's news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on the Christian Science Monitor app. The Supreme Court scrutinized a border policy that restricts asylum seekers. The top court heard arguments in Noem versus Al Otro Lado, exploring where exactly the right to seek asylum begins. U.S. law allows non-citizens to apply for asylum no matter how they entered the country. The Trump administration wants to be able to revive a policy that would allow asylum seekers to be turned back at ports of entry. Immigrant advocates call the practice unlawful and a departure from long-held norms. Justices wrestled with grammar, including what the phrase "arrives in the U.S." really means. Italian voters rejected a high-stakes effort to change the judiciary. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni backed a referendum that proponents said would tackle corruption by reforming the relationship between judges and prosecutors. Critics said the system helped prevent political interference. The vote was a major blow to Ms. Meloni, whose government has brought surprising stability to Italian politics. It also marks the latest example of a far-right government trying to reform the judiciary from Poland to Hungary. Also, the Trump administration will pay to cancel two offshore wind projects. Total Energies, a French company, agreed to give up leases to build wind farms off the coasts of New York and North Carolina. The company will reinvest the $928 million it paid to acquire the leases into oil and gas projects in the United States. The Justice Department will then reimburse the costs. This year, courts have allowed construction to continue on five offshore wind farms the Trump administration sought to block. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. If Iran's regime falls, it might be only a temporary setback as the country tries to outlast attacks by the United States and Israel and then emerge emboldened. Anna Mulrein-Groba reports for The Monitor. The Iranian military is far less capable than either U.S. or Israeli military forces, yet Iran's asymmetric strategy, including closing the Strait of Hormuz, has given it the confidence to issue its own demands. Our writer looks at what that means for ending the war and the aftermath. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. Legal sports gambling is flooding broadcasts with ads during major sporting events like March Madness. Experts say they are concerned a younger audience of high school and college students is being drawn into gambling. iReporter reports for The Monitor. Social media moderation is always an imperfect science, but it's especially challenging when machines and human moderators are asked to judge content in languages they don't understand. Contributor Vincent Owino reports from Nairobi, Kenya, for The Monitor. Artificial intelligence is developing so quickly that it's raising questions of safety and control as the technology's capabilities meet the demands of those, such as the federal government, who are using it. Caitlin Babcock reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a morsel of mercy that might save Venezuela. Many nations that have emerged from internal conflict, Rwanda, Colombia, Indonesia, to name a few, have anchored their national reconciliations in acts of mercy. In its own peculiar way, Venezuela might now join this group, nearly 3 months after the United States removed its dictator, Nicolas Maduro, by force and charged him with narco-terrorism and drug trafficking. Most of Mr. Maduro's colleagues remain in power in a deal made with U.S. President Donald Trump in the name of stability and a sharing of oil wealth. Yet, the regime has also begun releasing political prisoners. Just how many is in dispute. And in late February, Venezuela's National Assembly passed an amnesty law that, for all its serious flaws, covers hundreds of detainees over decades. These acts of mercy might seem useless. Many of the political prisoners violated no law, or at least none based on democratic rights. And the proceedings for their release from prison are conducted in front of judges tied closely to the regime. In addition, many Venezuelans are still being arrested for speaking out. Yet, the mere prospect of a general amnesty has begun to erode the regime's legitimacy and has raised hopes for justice. More crucially, it opens a window to a full transition to democracy, one based on truth about the dictatorship's worst abuses, but that might include forgiveness for lesser crimes. Amnesty does not defeat the regime on its own, but it does take away its capacity for coercion, breaks the logic of political hostages, and renders terror ineffective as a tool of social control, wrote Orlando Vieira Blanco, a Venezuelan human rights activist, in Analytica.com, a digital media outlet. Thus, amnesty is not capitulation. It is the containment of oppression. The U.S. has laid out a plan that calls for both an election and a reconciliation process, often called transitional justice. That, combined with the limited amnesty, has emboldened Venezuelans to assert civil liberties. Public workers have gone on strike. Activists have held vigils for detained political prisoners, and university students have organized protests. The amnesty law itself speaks of creating political pluralism and reintegrating former political prisoners into public life. Still missing are steps toward truth, accountability, and reparations. The law might be only a tactical sacrifice by the regime simply to retain power. But with each release of a political prisoner, the regime limits its narrative of internal enemies, as Mr. Vieira Blanco contended, and weakens its monopoly on fear. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more podcasts from The Monitor, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, type christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can rely on our divine parent when challenges, small or big, confront us. Find that full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.